with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino. Fun first hour. We had Josh Towers, former MLB pitcher, World Series champion, now VSiN baseball analyst. We had him on for two segments in the first hour. Make sure you check that out in podcast form if you went ahead and missed it. This hour will be fun as well. We got our buddy Nate Kreckman that's going to join us in 30 minutes from Altitude Sports Radio in Denver to talk all things NBA Finals with Denver Nuggets. But joining us right now to kick off hour number two, like he always does here on a Friday, it's the one and only Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker over at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Vinny, hope all is well. I want to start off with the Stanley Cup final from last night. Florida gets back in the series, winning 3-2 in overtime. How did that result help you guys out over there at the sportsbook? And what can you anticipate going forward as game four is tomorrow evening?
Well, happy Friday, guys. Good to be with you. Mike, good to see you. You know, Femi, Mike and I sat next to each other for a couple years here with Brent Musburger and had some great moments. So I'm looking forward to chatting with not only you, but certainly Mike today. As far as yesterday's game, a little bit more balance in terms of the betting yesterday, guys, compared to the first two games where it was all the Knights and over. And I'm sure Mike can attest to the fact that I'm talking about the general public, right? And here, where there is some regional bias with the Knights, it's safe to say that the bettors did very well on the first couple of games. Pretty balanced last night. We up the total. The total on the game last night was up to six here at South Point. So not no real damage there. Although more seasoned bettors did go under in last night's total. So. We lost a total, but wound up a little basically even to the game last night. And then an adjustment here where this game here, game four, the Panthers, $1.20 favorite. They did open $1.35 here at the South Point. I'm sorry, we're bet from $1.25 up to $35 and then came back in late on the Panthers last night. So, but that's there. The series price now, $260 in favor of the Knights. And again, I think there'll be some support for the Knights here. We've seen support for them and their response in the previous series where they did take a stumble in one game and then came back with a better performance the next. Although give the Panthers credit, I have to tell you, and it's all about Matthew Tkachuk, right, guys? Mike, you've seen this guy all postseason just do his thing, and he had a bit of a Willis Reed moment last night after he got knocked out of the game and then came back in. He assisted on the first goal, he scored the second goal, and was a part of the winning goal by screening out in front.
Yeah, a couple guys I know have Marshall Show Conn Smythe tickets, and I told him not to hedge with other Knights, but hedge with Tkachuk at this point. I think that's the way to go. Vinny, Adam Hill wrote a great article last week about the different liabilities for the sports books here in town. Obviously, Derek was part of the article. It's $1 million swing for us, you know, lose 750 or win 250 to the Panthers. Jake Cornegie and John Murray have been saying they have is a very small loser for them. Tony Miller said that the Nuggets says he makes a winner to the Knights. How do you guys stand at the South Point in the future book?
Yeah, Mike, not too bad. I mean, certainly nothing like we saw in year one, right, where there was an enormous liability. But, of course, that's indicative of the fact that they were, you know, 400-500, 600-1 to win the cup in that inaugural season. A smaller liability here, Mike, nothing like that year. And again, you know, and by the way, I thought it was a terrific article that Adam put together. It was great to that Derek and Nicole were featured in the article as well, and supporting the team. Listen, we all got into this business early on as fans, and we're still fans. Now we have to book things differently. You can't book as a fan, but I think everybody is really in agreement that if the Knights do win it, it's great for the city. And listen, you know, we like I said yesterday. On with Amal and Patrick Maher. We can't rely on the Fed to stimulate this economy, so may as well have us bookmakers do it, right? Interest rates are all the way up to 7%. What the hell? So we'll do our thing and put some money in people's pockets if the Knights win. And, of course, they'll reload that, Mike, as you know, and re-bet it as we get closer to football come August for the preseason and, of course, week one in September.
Yeah, we can't wait for that. That's only 3 months away, the NFL season. My palm is already – I can see the anxiety coming over you right now at the NFL season quickly approaching. We're hanging out with Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Vinny, how about tomorrow, the Belmont Stakes, the third leg of the Triple Crown? Of course, we will not have a horse that's racing for the Triple Crown, Mage losing over there in the Preakness a few weeks ago. What do you anticipate the handle being like? I know there's been some uncertainty with the air quality in the Northeast and everything like that. It sounds like we're still going to run this race, but how do you kind of handicap this race here going forward with the Belmont Stakes coming up here in about 24 hours?
Yeah, for me. Well, first of all, you know, Parimutuel wagering, the advanced wagering is open today, so that's good for folks to get started. I think we're going to have racing tomorrow. I mean, the fact that they played baseball yesterday, they didn't cancel today's card or the workouts for today, so it looks like the Belmont is going to go on for tomorrow as scheduled. And I think it's going to be a better race, a better quality field, frankly, than we saw in the Preakness. In the Preakness, even though we had a situation where there was obviously the Derby winner went and was trying to compete for a Triple Crown, and there's always more money in the Belmont when a Triple Crown is on the line. I still think that the Belmont is going to be a better quality race, obviously, and when you look at this field, and I think it's a terrific card as well. So the overall card is going to contribute to that. There's a lot more special races tomorrow with the Belmont. So you've got more doubles, more triples, rolling triples. So I think you're going to see much more handle here. A bit more liquidity in the pool because of the quality. I mean, you've got you've got Forte coming back. Forte, let's remember, was scratched for the Kentucky Derby after being announced as the favorite. He's the favorite here at 5-2. But I'm concerned about Forte's layoff here. And I think he's I don't question his health. But about 2.5 months, you know what? I'll use him, but I won't use him on top. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look at our Arcangelo with Javier Castellano in the 3-hole, an 8-1 shot. And there's a 10-1 shot that I like, Hitcho, who finished. You know what? We talk about the Derby. Hitcho came out of the Derby very well, ran a pretty good race. I think, you know, obviously the traffic in the Derby is a completely different factor than in many other races, but did finish fifth in that race after starting from the rail, which is really a death sentence when you and for a lot of horses when it comes to the Derby. So Hitcho at 10-1, I'm going to use those two on top, and then wheel them with just about the rest of the field. Not every horse. I'm not crazy about the one hole here, Tappet Shoes. Mm-hmm. But speaking of Tappet, a lot of connections to Tappet in this race. Half the field as either Tappet as the sire or grandsire. So for folks that enjoy that aspect, there's plenty to look at here. And again, let's remember, this race is the longest race at a Triple Crown at 1.5 miles.
Vinny, there's no one I know more invested in the horse racing industry than you are. I want to get your take on how this year's Triple Crown season, the impact you think it's had on the future of horse racing. Has it hurt it? Is it important? Or is it just about the racinos? I mean, we're looking at Kentucky now. Obviously, you guys probably are too, with sports betting coming online. Talk to some folks from the Horse Racing Commission looking at, you know, so this, Kentucky Downs runs 6 days a year, but it's all, you know, the HRT machines and all this. Mm-hmm. Any negative impact over what's happened over the last few months on the future of the horse racing industry?
Yeah, Mike, it's a great question and an important question, because I mean, when you think about it, particularly what happened during the Churchill meet. Right now, let's remember that Churchill's finishing their meet. They're not even finishing at Churchill because there's something. Maybe there's something wrong with the track. They had too many deaths. Anytime you have that kind of, you know, that many incidents where horses are breaking down, and we saw it at Santa Anita a few years ago, it certainly has a negative impact. Now, I think horse racing is trying to do some different things, but they've been trying for quite some time. And it's not a unified approach, though, Mike, which I think is working against them, right? I mean, you see Monmouth trying to, offering fixed odds, for the whips and certain other pools, right? But it's just a situation where there's no real superstars. I don't know what we know what the issues are, but I tell you what, until horse racing gets more united, and they tried this with the NTRA years ago, 25 years ago, to try to unite the cause, if you will, and come together but there's still too much infighting, I think. I mean, if LIV Golf and the PGA can come together and sort things out, then I think that's where the horse racing can perhaps take that page and that example and say, okay, look, how do we collectively get together as a sport to try to make things better and try to, you know, get the sport back on track? Until that happens, I think we're going to continue to see a bit of a decline. It's been flat, but certainly here in Nevada, where there's so much of a bigger betting menu in sports, and the fact that younger people like to know what they're going to win at the time of their wager, aka, you know, i.e. fixed odds wagering, then I think it's still going to continue to struggle.
Hey, Vinny, we got about 45 seconds left. Anything on the NBA Finals here coming up here? Denver, 3.5-point favorites, total 211.
Yeah, speaking of contributing to the economy, listen, Mike, I'm sure can attest to this too. The bettors got the best of it in the first three games, and looks, you know, they're betting the Nuggets here. I just think that this is a situation where now we're up to 3.5. You might see some fours here where before pros get in. This is a different animal than the Heat have faced, particularly up front and on the interior. So right now, we're going to need the Nuggets, and I'm sorry, we're going to need the Heat, and I don't think that's going to change before tip-off.
All right. He is Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Vinny, we appreciate the time, man. Be well.
Take care, Vinny.
Good to be with you guys.
Thank you.
Have awesome a great stuff. Weekend, guys.
Great stuff from Vinny. On the other side, we'll hit some NFL news and notes, including the news that is breaking and official now out of the Twin Cities in Minnesota.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, filling in for Michael Lombardi, who will be back tomorrow from his trip out to Boston. I believe he was on a book tour in Boston, also has a speaking engagement. He's always making the rounds.
Michael FDR. Lombardi. He wrote a new book about FDR and the New Deal. That's what I heard. Football done. Football
not quite
done,
the New right. Deal.
Role of Eleanor Roosevelt really underplayed in history. She was the first Hillary.
I don't know if there's a fireside chat that comes along with the book.
Whistle
here.
Stop. He's on a whistle stop tour.
But football done right. It's coming out in September. So look out for that one. Our buddy Michael Lombardi, of course, who the show is named after, on the book tour to go ahead and hype that thing up there. But as we're heading to break, we saw the breaking news in the NFL. And it's not quite breaking news because we knew it was coming. But it's now been made official in Minnesota. The Vikings have released Dalvin Cook, the four-time Pro Bowl running back, a season ago. You know, Dalvin Cook, he went ahead and didn't have a bad season. I mean, 1,100 rushing yards, 8 touchdowns, really a productive season there. But I think the money and the financials came to a head to where they wanted to go ahead and go in the Alexander Mattison direction. And now Dalvin Cook is officially out there on the open market for teams to go ahead and talk to.
I know it's one particular person and not a huge sample size, but what does it say about the position of running back, though? I mean,
it's tough.
You know, when you talk about drafting Bijan and he's going to be such a transformative figure, and it's just, or maybe it's to your point, the lifespan's 3 to 4 years on these guys, and they just, because of the contact, they turn them over, and that's it. But, he's not the reason. And you say 13-3 and a lucky 13-3 and all the one-score games in that. I can't point to Dalvin Cook or any decline as anything to do with why the Vikings didn't or didn't advance in the playoffs. I still think they have a quarterback problem. But we'll see. We'll see what the interest is and how quickly he lands somewhere.
Yeah, and I think for the running back position, because we also see Ezekiel Elliott's out there on the open market. Nobody signed him. And like we've seen a number of guys get released. I don't think there's an issue drafting the running back in the first round or in the top 10 or whatever, I think the issue comes when you go ahead and re-up.
Second contract.
And you give them the second contract. The second contract has never really aged well. Other than, I mean, Nick Chubb is playing on that second contract. Maybe he's the outlier and the exception to the rule. But most of these guys, it's tough. And we see the New York Giants right now who has they franchise tag Saquon Barkley. Yeah. He hasn't signed it because he wants the long-term extension. You're kind of in a bind as an organization when you're giving that much money to a position where they're taking just an immense beating down in and down out.
Yeah, and you almost have to be so two-dimensional in the passing game that you're an effective back, and not just on third down, but you can be an effective back on first and second down. And, Pollard sort of played his way into that role, too, in Dallas. He's really emerged and shown, you know, not only the breakaway speed that we knew to run outside, but was last year able to run inside the tackles as well.
Yeah, no, he was really good and also really good in the passing game. Hopefully they use him more as that playmaker as he's coming back from the broken leg that he suffered in the playoff game. I mean, their offense, when they lost him in that playoff game against the Niners, you could tell that it was like, okay, now it's just all on CeeDee Lamb to make plays, and nobody else was really doing anything for Dallas. But that's neither here nor there. We don't want to have to rehash that. That's back-to-back years to the 49ers. It's not been fun facing that team. But Dalvin Cook is now out. Two teams that have been linked to him. This is according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. One, the Miami Dolphins, where Dalvin Cook is from, could potential to go back home. And then two, the Denver Broncos, who now have first-year head coach Sean Payton. Not a first-year head coach, but his first year in Denver, the Super Bowl-winning head coach out there in the Rocky Mountains. What do you think would be a good fit for Dalvin Cook?
Miami's interesting. Two is a lot of short passing game, right? Most everything is within 12 yards of the line of scrimmage, even though they got all this over the top speed to take apart a defense. He's not exactly
just the throw guy. Throw a little five to Tyreek Hill.
Everything's underneath. Peyton picks, Peyton uses a back like Kamara that also is a tough inside but can be good in the passing game as well. I don't know if Cook has that kind of versatility, especially at this point. So we'll see. I think Miami is more likely than Denver if you had to ask me where I think he ends up.
Mm-hmm. And the situation being what is, it's like, Minnesota leaked that they were going to release him earlier this week, hoping
somebody would.
It's like, hopefully somebody can give us like a fifth round pick. Nobody was interested in doing that. Just kind of goes to show you where the state of the position is right now. And especially at this point of the offseason, teams are kind of just like, hey, we're cap strapped. We don't want to give up assets and stuff when we have to pay a guy. So I think it's an interesting market to follow along. I don't think Dalvin Cook, just my personal opinion, is a guy that's going to take a team over the hump. You know, we talked about that with DeAndre Hopkins in the first hour about how, hey, there's still something left there. I think there's something left in Dalvin Cook, but I think he's more so a good running back in a committee role.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a lead guy. 8 to 10 carry a game guy. Maybe he's the change-up back.
Yeah, and then that's the market will probably be that, where it's probably not going to be a whole lot of money there for Dalvin Cook after six seasons with the Minnesota Vikings. Also, we're speaking of Denver and Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. They made a signing. They went ahead and signed Frank Clark from the rival Kansas City Chiefs to bolster their pass rush. So Frank Clark going over to the Broncos. It's been an interesting offseason for Denver. I like what they've done. I mean, just the change at head coach is a massive upgrade from our boy Nathaniel Hackett to now Sean Payton, who's won a Super Bowl.
Well, you go from incompetence is a hard word, but they couldn't get the plays in.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw this still late in the season, 8 seconds and Wilson's waiting for the play to come in. You saw it happen in the opener in Seattle and you still saw it to a guy that's, a top three play caller of our generation, probably in Sean Payton. And so I think, what's that boost worth in that head coach? Is that worth two games to a team? Is it worth, long term, it's worth a lot more. But in one season, is it worth a game and a half, two and a half games? So it's interesting, as Payton puts all these pieces together, how he sees his offense and how he wants to run it. I mean, obviously, you have some similarities in the quarterback position and in height wise, a little bit the same thing as you had with how successful he was with Breeze and designing plays to get Russell Wilson. Wilson obviously seemed more limited in his mobility and didn't want to take as much contact as he did in Seattle, where he was very willing to run the ball and not just in scramble situations. So Clark, it's hard to defend the passing game. You defend the passing game by getting to the quarterback because you can't cover guys for 5 seconds. You just can't. Nobody can do it. It's impossible. So you defend the passing game with the rush.
What do you make of their season-long markets? I mean, the win total's at 8.5, plus 180 to make the playoffs, 5-1 to win the division, 22-1 conference, 40-1 Super Bowl. Is this a team that you'd want to buy in season-long, or do you kind of play them game to game?
The AFC seems so tough, doesn't
it? It's difficult.
And I mean, you got the Chiefs, and still you have the Chargers in that division. The Raiders are a little bit of we all thought this was the greatest division of all time. It didn't play out that way. They were a big part of it. The Chargers still struggle to really get in the playoffs, and then they lose. They're just...
I don't trust the Chargers.
It's tough. It's tough to bet them, even at 180, to make the playoffs in the AFC. The East is good. The North has the potential, maybe three teams being in the hunt. Mm-hmm. The South is obviously thought to be the weak division. You're probably only going to get one team. But you're competing with those AFC East and North teams, and are they better than the second-place teams in those divisions to make a wild? I'd have to get close to like plus 250, plus 275 to take a shot at making the playoffs here.
I think in the AFC, there's going to be about 3 to 4 good teams that miss the playoffs. Yeah. Like, you're going to watch them on Sundays, like, oh, that's a good team. They could make it, but there's only 7 seats, you know, and there's about 11 good teams in that conference. Probably take 3 of them that are not good from the AFC South, and then maybe there's one other that's hanging around there. But, I mean, I think they're going to look at 11, maybe even 12 good teams in a conference of 16 to where it's going to be an absolute gauntlet.
It's interesting as you look at on the board, the odds to win the AFC. And I mean, right, the teams that are above them, you would say they should be above them. And that includes 3 teams from the AFC North, obviously. It includes 3 teams from the AFC East. That somebody's got to get in out of the South. So that's a given. But I mean, the Broncos are probably going to have to be better than the Chargers. And then they're going to have to be better than, you know, 2 or 3 of those teams that are ahead of them on the list in order to make it. Are they better than the Dolphins? You got to hope these divisions beat each other up. Are they better than the Dolphins? I don't think they're better than the Ravens.
No.
I like that AFC North division. I think that's going to be a really interesting division. You have very, you know, again, this, and the Steelers are never under 500. So
that's why I wanted to ask you. I was like, Steelers are 35-1 to win the AFC. Broncos are 22-1. Should there be that difference between the two?
I didn't hate Pickett's year.
I didn't hate it either.
I thought the guy has some trajectory there too. So
there's some young playmakers.
It's interesting. Maybe it's the Browns that are the team. Who knows? But somebody's going to be the odd man out. But that's a very interesting division. The Bengals deserve to be the favorite. I don't know, +120. Maybe, you know, that seems low.
I like them a lot though. I do like them a lot.
We're talking, you know, it's been Bengals Chiefs, right? In terms of, and they went to Buffalo and kind of, you know, punched them in the mouth. Honestly, in that they dominated that game. In Buffalo, and Buffalo was the Super Bowl favorite preseason at a short price. So it's tough. I think Lamar's a real wild card team in the AFC, and the Ravens, and I think the Jets are a real wild card team. I think there's a variance there of how those teams are going to be.
And Miami is also really good. Tua can stay healthy. Maybe that's an 11-win team or so. They were winning a lot of games.
And how does the coach improve in Miami? I mean, how does his game management improve? You know, what do they learn in the offseason?
We hope they learn down there on South Beach. He's going to Heat games. Speaking of the Heat game, we're going to talk with Nate Kreckman on the other side from Altitude Sports Radio in Denver.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a smarter sports bettor with a VSiN Pro subscription. For a limited time, sign up for just $9.99 and get full access to everything we do, which includes daily pro picks and all the summer action like NFL and college football futures, premium analysis from our top team of handicappers and industry experts, 24/7 video access, and pro tools like our exclusive betting split showing you where the public and sharp money is going to give you an edge. Don't miss out on our lowest intro price of the year. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up today. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. He's Mike Palm. I'm Femi Abebefe. We're hanging out at the Circa Resort and Casino here on this Friday. And joining us now, our final guest here on the program, covers the Denver Nuggets for Altitude Sports Radio in Denver. It's the one and only Nate Kreckman joining us here on the Lombardi Line. Nate, we appreciate you joining us here this morning. Obviously, a big, big weekend here with the Denver Nuggets. 2 wins away from an NBA title, first time in franchise history. Is it safe to say that through 3 games that the Nuggets have cracked the code that is the Miami Heat?
I'm not ready to go there yet because I got to give Eric Spoelstra and Miami an awful lot of credit. They made very good adjustments for game 2. I believe it or not, despite a 15-point loss, I think there were some things that they did in game 3 that were effective. And I'm always worried about a Miami team that has been the best shooting team in these entire playoffs. coming off a 31% game to perhaps bounce back and get back to game two type of levels when they shot 49% from three and they made 17 triples in this game. So, look, the Nuggets are better than Miami, but when it comes to code cracking, I'm not going to write off Eric Spoelstra.
Nate, I want to ask about, from a betting perspective, how you would attack this game tonight. We're seeing across the board some Nuggets money come in, pushing this number to 3.5. Perhaps it'll get to 4 in some spots. A very popular way to bet the series has been Jokic props. Obviously, you had the historic game the other night. The prop before that at a plus price that he'd average 16 rebounds, he's got that up to 14 with the 21 the other night. Tonight it sits at 12.5 rebounds, 30.5 points, and 10.5 assists. Any outlook on the game aside a total or maybe a Jokic prop?
Well, Nikola Jokic is going to get an awful lot of rebounds. You can definitely count on that. He had 21 rebounds in game three, which was just absolutely absurd. Aaron Gordon had a good rebounding game. He pulled down 10 in that game, and maybe... And I've been taking a look at Aaron Gordon's rebounding prop coming into this matchup as perhaps favorable at 6.5. Michael Porter Jr. at 6'10" is an excellent rebounder on that front line for the Denver Nuggets, but he can't buy a bucket. He has been shooting just miserably. He's 3 of 19 from three in this series. He was 1 of 7 from the floor, and he only played 22 minutes in game three. So, Aaron Gordon's rebounding prop is one that I take a look at right now. Now it's at minus 120 on the over 6.5, but he had 10 boards in game three. And if Porter has another night struggling to shoot the basketball, you'd be looking at Bruce Brown getting a lot of his minutes in the second half. Bruce Brown, you know, only at 6'4". This could be a big rebounding night for Aaron Gordon. But on top of that, the biggest rebounding battle is the one that exists between Nikola Jokic and Bam Adebayo, and that's something to certainly take a look at. Bam's number, I think, is a 10.5 rebounds coming into this game. I mean, he's coming off of a 17-rebound game that he was able to put together there in game three. So he's a big part of what they have to do. They're not a particularly big team. Bam's going to get a lot of those boards.
We're speaking with Nate Kreckman, host at Altitude Sports Radio in Denver here on the Lombardi Line. Nate, at the end of game three, Jamal Murray was kind of flexing that left hand. It's his off shooting hand. He had a wrap on it at the end of game three. Is everything good with Jamal Murray right now? Like, should we expect him to be compromised in this game going forward? Or was it just kind of a twisted up the hand a little bit there at the end of the game?
Started around the second quarter, our buddy Mike Singer of the Denver Post tweeted a picture of it out. Floor burn was what Jamal Murray suffered. Don't look at the picture if you're eating breakfast or lunch or anything like that. It's gross. But I think he's going to be okay. I saw him flexing it a little bit in the second quarter of that game. It did not impact him at all. Still shot over 50%, still scored 34. He had 10 rebounds. He had 10 assists. Jamal Murray's tough as hell. This is a guy who, you know, growing up in Kitchener, Ontario, doing wall sits outside when it was 10 degrees and his dad putting cups of piping hot tea on his lap. I don't think he's going to let a little floor burn bother him for game four of the NBA final.
Nate, Mike Malone has been there 8 years as the head man, lending stability. Basically, it's a team of players drafted by the Nuggets, not really a team of mercenaries. How popular is this team in the Denver market? Are they clearly second to the Broncos? I know the Avalanche have had a lot of success.
I don't know if you've seen what the Broncos have done in recent years. I mean, in terms of popularity, okay. I will tell you this. Denver sports fans like this Nuggets team a hell of a lot more than they like the Broncos. I can tell you that because, look, Nikola Jokic is two-time MVP, best player on the planet, one of the most likable people in the world. The town has really wrapped their arms around these guys. You know, they have really taken on that chip on the shoulder identity, sort of embodied the, and look, I didn't grow up here, but I've been here for 2 decades now covering sports. And I can tell you this, Denver sports fans have an inferiority complex. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, the forgotten time zone, not on the coast, overlooked, flyover city. In terms of an NBA town, the Nuggets have never been a magnet for big name free agents or anything else like that. So you're absolutely right about the roster construction right here. But the team has really embraced all of that. And they are homegrown. Jokic is a second round pick. Jamal Murray picked 7th. Michael Porter Jr. picked 14th. You know, savvy trades to bring Aaron Gordon and KCP, Bruce Brown, overlooked Christian Brown, you know, late first round draft pick. Like, these are the rotation guys that are on this team, and the fans have wrapped their arms around them. They love them. And Nuggets fever is it's better than I've ever seen it in this town, and it's really, really cool.
How many games does Denver need to win this finals?
Well, they they need 2 more wins, and they'll get to 4, and that would give them an NBA championship, if I'm understanding the question correct.
Well, no, I was saying, how many? Like, is it gonna be in 5? Is it gonna be in 6?
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. I bet 6 before the series. I think it's going to be 6. Tonight is the game that makes me nervous. I think they're going to play a lot better on their home floor in Game 5 here on Monday. Tonight's the game that makes me nervous. They win tonight, it's over in 5. If not, I think they finish it off in 6. Maybe Miami's got one more counterpunch in them. But that's kind of what I'm looking at.
And I want to turn the focus. Let's stay away from the Broncos. I want to turn the focus to Boulder and the Colorado Buffaloes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because there's, obviously Coach Prime has generated the most buzz in that organization or that school since Coach McCartney took him to a national championship in a dominant position in the Big 8. What's the outlook for this team? What's the long-term plan on what he can do with Colorado? And then what are you hearing about the future of the Pac-12?
In terms of the future, I think that Colorado has gotten a good eye on the sinking ship that is the Pac-12. And look, they're not dumb. They've seen what happened with Larry Scott. As soon as SC and UCLA jumped ship, it made the Pac-12 a tenuous situation at best. There's big-time money in the Big 12. I think Colorado had big visions for their move to the Pac-12. It didn't work out. I can't completely blame the conference because this has been arguably the worst program in all of the Power 5 over the last decade and a half. So Colorado could have done themselves an awful lot of favors by winning. In terms of Dion and the long term, I don't know, man. There's just it's a gigantic wait and see that's going on right there. He's trying to make a massive sea change very, very quickly. I think it some are embracing it. It turns others off. It's polarizing. It's been, I will call it rocky to say the least. However, to your point, the program has never been more popular, since Coach Mack. They sold out their spring game. Ticket sales have been wonderful. You know, there's low expectations for this team this year. The win total is kind of surprisingly low. So, you know, long term, I don't know. I don't know how long he's going to be around. This is one of the great experiments in college football that I've ever seen. And I say all of this with very little confidence. I know you want better insight. I just don't have it because I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, I think it's a wait and see out there in Boulder with the win total of 3.5 there. He is Nate Kregman. Check him out there at Altitude Sports Radio in Denver. Nate, we appreciate the time, man. Be well.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Awesome stuff there from Nate. Yeah, it's the Buffs with Dion. It's obviously chaotic what he's doing, but I think that's kind of needed when you have the program in the state that it was in before he got there.
The point is, if he can get this program competitive in 3 years, is he there in year 4 anyhow? You know, that's kind of the...
Yeah.
Or will he ride it out? And where do they end up? Are they in the Big 12?
Jeez, that's a whole other thing. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms on over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, final segment on the show. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm. A great show that we've had. Three fantastic guests joined us throughout the program. Josh Towers, in hour number one, former MLB pitcher, World Series champion, and now VSiN baseball analyst. We had him on. Then also Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame oddsmaker at the South Point Hotel and Casino. And then, of course, Nate Kreckman, who we had on in the last segment from Altitude Sports Radio in Denver. Thank you to all of them.
Femi, have you been on any shows with Mike Somich?
I have.
Who does he like in the Belmont?
I have not talked to him. Yeah, I believe we're going to have him on tomorrow morning.
Oh, he does. National Treasure.
Like National Treasure.
Elliot says. Okay.
All right. Mike, he's
really good.
He's great with the horses.
Great with everything. I don't like the wood paneling. I don't know if that's really his home. Seems a little antiquated, but I like that kid a lot. He's really good.
He is. He's a really nice guy. Yeah, he lives out there in Santa Barbara. Made me a lot of money with Mage for a Kentucky Derby. So I told him next time he's out in Vegas, drinks are on me. So hopefully he texts me whenever he comes out here to Las Vegas, because I know he's awesome. Make sure you tune in for that tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 West Coast time, and that is 10 to noon on the East Coast.
I saw a tweet, Jick Jack's back too, huh? That's exciting stuff.
The rumors are true. Yeah. The rumors are true. Jick Jack has been freed on Twitter. We almost made free Jick Jack t-shirts, but there's something got lost in the shuffle there, but it's good to see that Jick Jack has been free. I'm not sure if we're going to have him on tomorrow or maybe on later on this weekend, but Jick Jack coming soon.
I tuned in for the food. I love when he
talks about what he's eating. He's always tweeting it out there. I mean, Jick Jack is always putting together pretty good plates and stuff. So.
And he's a very nice man. Very, very nice. Like Vinny. They're very nice people. All these bookmakers, you know, when we got into the industry and we opened June 1st, 2019, and, you know, this building was under construction. We opened at the gate, and guys like that helping us figure it out, helping us get our controls written, helping us give us some direction on what we wanted. Everybody very, very helpful, and so we were very appreciative of that. And here we sit, you know, 4 years later. We just had our four-year anniversary this month.
Yeah,
and,
happy anniversary.
Pretty happy with where we're at.
No, it's a fine facility. Obviously, if you've ever come out to Las Vegas, you know, it's if you want to come on Bet on Sports and just have a good time, and, you know, like, this is the place to be. I mean, where else can you be in the pool and also be watching multiple games at the same time?
You could do that. I mean, you come here for a few days. You could do one day in the book. That's a different experience. And then it was perfect last night, a little over. It wasn't too hot. I mean, we got an 85-degree day. It was just perfect at the pool, other than giving up the goal with the Bobrovsky pulled and losing in overtime. But, you know, I see the fans. They came down. They had a great time. They had a few beers, a few cocktails. A lot of them had their towels on. They hadn't been in the pool watching the game. And so, you know, and the great thing for us is it's many of them, it was their first time to the facility, and they came because it was the official party for the night. So you expose them to that, and, you know, and hopefully they come back.
So I have a confession to make last night. So you mentioned how nice the night was. I actually ended up not watching the game. Because the weather was so great.
You were outdoors.
I was outdoors. You know, my apartment has a nice little barbecue set up right by the pool. So we barbecued we had some steaks on the grill.
Oh,
you know, we had the potatoes, the Brussels sprouts going, the cocktails flowing. And I tweeted it out yesterday evening, that I found out that Florida scored in overtime because one of my neighbors yelled out an expletive.
Oh, yeah,
that's how you do it. And I could hear it from their apartment. And I checked the minute I heard the expletive, I checked Twitter, and all the tweets were like, Panthers score, Panthers win, and all that stuff. So, it was a really nice night in Las Vegas, and it's about to start heating up. So I was like, I got to take advantage of it, you know, before it gets to 120 degrees at 10 o'clock in the evening. So there's that. The NBA finals are tonight. Final thoughts. Game four, Nuggets 3.5, totals at 211. If you had to place a wager on this game,
I might take Kreckman's advice, our previous guest, Nate Kreckman from Altitudes, and just bet every player over rebounds. Can that have? They all got to shoot 30%. There's got to be 120 rebounds. No, I like a couple of those numbers, though, the six and up. I mean, Jokic at 12.5, you'd think 21, but he's averaging now 14. And I know Paul Howard has a ticket, Jokic to average 16 rebounds at 8-1.
Oh. And you said he's averaging 14? Right
14
now?
After the, because he went 10, 11, 21. So I like a little over 12.5. I'd rather bet it that way. Or try to, you know, if you get Miami gets out to a good, I like the angle that NBA, to me, soccer is the best in-game betting sport. But the NBA, in terms of these runs these teams have, and get the favorite to get to a slow start and then get them at a pick or maybe even a plus price when it's 3.5, that's a good angle. You can create 15, 20-point middles on totals the way these games flow. It's just, I know this, they've been an under-team Miami, and this is, you know, relatively low totals, but there's so many shots in the flow of these games. You know, it's hard to be an under-better and enjoy watching. This isn't a sport where you can enjoy it. Like soccer, you can just watch the clock run. Oh, they kicked it out. Oh, it's a goal kick. They waste time. It's all nice. You know, you're getting more and more value as you watch it.
You know, it's interesting. Do you think that sometimes we leave money on the table not taking advantage of the in-game in a sport like basketball? Because, like you said, let's say you went ahead and played the Heat money line at a plus price, whatever it is. If they go out and start the game off like 11-2, you can play Denver on the plus money price as well. And you literally just sit back and wait for the game to end to collect your money.
Amal does it. I mean, my friend in San Diego does it with totals and middling. That's what he does in the NBA. He never gets into a position, and he does it all where he has, you know, no liability in doing this. There's some small liability if you know, you bet the wrong way on what you're anticipating a run. Do it in baseball. You know, you're fading a certain part of the batting order. You're really betting no run in that half inning and then trying to create a 6 and a 7 as middles and not have any liability. Do it in tennis. You know, we always got to start out with the plus money, and then they get the break, take the other at the plus money, and put the game away.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to lock up. Did you win 300? Did you win 250? Whatever it is. Yeah. Unless, of course, somebody withdraws, and then they
screw just out of that, too.
Yeah. I've had that happen, too. I had 2+ prices and somebody withdraws. Retires. I just can't take it anymore.
Well, at least he didn't lose.
I didn't, but I couldn't lose. The worst that could happen was a push, and it happened.
Yeah. Somebody just says, you know what? I'm tapping out. Yeah. I'm done. any French Open thoughts? We have the second semifinal, Rude and Zverev right now. Casper Rude up 5-3 in this opening set. Winner of this will go ahead and face Novak Djokovic on Sunday.
Yeah, you got to like Joker in the final here, whoever wins. I like Iga tomorrow, though. I think Iga, you said you could lay the 5.5 and the 6.5 there at a plus price. I think it's quick work there. To me, the worst-case scenario is 6. Well, even, you know, 6-2, 6-3 is 7, right? Yeah. So, I mean, that covers both the numbers. And I'm not the biggest fan of Iga, but things have fallen very well for her. Haddad Maia played well yesterday, actually broke Iga to love in the first game and then took her to the tiebreak in the second set, but we couldn't finish the deal. You never get to see Iga in those pressure situations, right, where she drops a set. It's very rare that that happens. So, but I think she's in a great spot here, and you have to play the game price if you're going to play anything. But to me, you know, Muchova emptied the tank and beating Sabalenka there, and that was a great three-set match. So I'm with Gil tomorrow. I know the Gillionaires have all their futures on Iga. I think they have one from like 4 years ago when he identified her before she even broke on the scene.
Stop.
I think it's 38 ways he's got to earn this, but the parlays with Alcaraz are over. But she's going to win tomorrow. I'd be shocked if she didn't win, and I'd be shocked if Muchova got to 4 games in either set.
What was Iga pre-tournament? What was she, like 2-1 or something?
Yeah, real short price. Yeah. I think she was actually 2-1 in some spots. I saw 180, 175. Ooh. But as soon as the tournament got rolling and things, and then Rybakina dropped out, she's quickly became a -2, -$3 favorite. Now you see -$7 in the finals.
So once again, if you want to lay a 5.5, it's -140 over at BetMGM. 6.5 is +125 for Iga Świątek tomorrow against Carolina Muchova.
6 a.m. Pacific time, 9 a.m. Eastern, that match will go from Roland Garros.
It's not terrible. Hell, I mean, Lombardi line starts at 7 o'clock Pacific time.
The match might be over. It'll be long over before you guys hit the airwaves.
It'll be long over. We won't be able to get Michael Lombardi's thoughts on Iga Świątek. And if he thinks that she can go ahead and become the French Open champion, then of course the reigning French Open champion tomorrow. Then Novak Djokovic awaits the winner of this match between Zverev and Rude. That'll be coming up on Sunday. But Mike Palm, this was fun, man.
It's always fun. It always flies by, Femi. It seems like we just started. And thanks to Josh Towers,
Kay
Crackman, and our buddy Vinny Maiulo down at the South Point.
This hell of a show for us. For Mike Palm, I'm Femi Abebefe. For our producer, Elliot Bowman, and the entire crew behind the glass, we wish you all the best of luck. Coming up next is VSiN Best Bets here on the Sports Betting Network.